Well, you're supposed to have a demonstration today. Got a prima donna on your hands. I didn't feel like giving you a demonstration. I just had a case repair run on me. And I was running right on up to lecture time madly, developing a present time problem because, you see, end of session must approach at once. And also, you've got to know more about R4, and I'm not at all unhappy to give you a lecture on the subject. This is particularly valuable material to you, in actual fact. I can see some of you now that haven't got any R4 on your check sheets. This is what? 3-0-8-13. All right. This is a talk on routine 4. And a lot of you haven't had this on your check sheets, you see, and actually haven't got any bulletins to amount to anything, don't you see? And not having any bulletins to study, and all of the listing bulletins being out of date, and although it's all the same as R3, M2, it is all different, I can see that sooner or later, and you thought I was going to say that you'd go into confusion. That wasn't what I was going to say. Sooner or later, out of self-defense, you would figure it out. Yeah, that's my little mechanism here for putting you on cause. Now, in actual fact, quite a few here allegedly running R4. It's alleged. It's all very interesting. But practically none of the actual HGA Class 4 course exists at this particular moment. That's something for you to think about. This course is very well grooved in, beautifully grooved in, for HSS Class 3. And there's some of you caught in the bind here, having to learn 4 without that being smoothly, beautifully organized, because that's still to some degree on the... has been. It isn't now. But it is so fresh off the research assembly line, because R3M2 had to be patched up and smoothed out, don't you see? Although all that work was done, the communication of it for easy assimilation by a student doesn't exist. So I'm making up for that to you in these lectures. You perhaps are also, you're perhaps fortunate in this, not totally unfortunate. Most of you have tangled with goals one way or the other. You've tangled with these things. And you know that quite a bit of randomity exists on the subject of goals. An old R3 and so forth. Now, we've had this around for a long time. And it has emerged into a very precise, very precise piece of technology. It's about the neatest piece of technology that has ever been developed in Scientology. There's more research hours been spent on it, and so on, in smoothing it out than any other single piece of Scientology. Naturally, because it's the road to OT, it's the road out, it's the very backbone of cases. And whether you like it or not, those of you who are at the moment in W unit, and those of you who are at class 1 level auditing, and so forth, whether you like it or not, you are handling R4. This is an unescapable fact. We can turn the blind eye to the telescope and say there just ain't no bank, and we will sit there and listen to the PC rattle on expansively. We can take up his session goals. We can do this, we can do that, and we can do everything else. But we actually are looking at R4. That would be what's at the other end of the telescope if the class 1 fellow looked. Not that he will someday get up to a point as an auditor where he will be able to handle this technology and that sort of thing. We're not looking at his study course. We're looking at the fact that the PC sitting in front of him at that moment and in every session and in any kind of a session under any auditor's hands, any place in the world, is handling nothing but R4 materials and nothing else. You understand that? Levels 1, 2, and 3 are devoted to handling R4 materials without admitting it. They're devoted to getting tone arm action by shoving around GPMs, items, goals, locks. I don't care what you call these things, service facsimiles, call them anything you want to. Well, I'll give you an example. You remember that session? Oh, this is very hypothetical. You remember that session you had in an HGC one time or another, and you had that marvelous tone arm action, and you found a lot better afterwards and so forth. You remember that session? That was a good session, wasn't it? Well, you handled an item or a lock or a goal in R4. You did something to a GPM that made you feel better. Period. You remember that PC you audited back around and this PC sat down there all of a sudden, wow, and it was just terrific result and so forth, and then adding lumbos and so on. You remember that miraculous. Somehow, some way, you ran out, keyed out, trigged out, did something with R4 materials. You did something with goals or actual GPMs. Or implant GPMs, or items, or lock items on actual GPMs, or lock items on an actual goal, lock item on an actual GPM's goal, a lock item on an actual GPM's RI, a lock item on an implant GPM, or a lock item on an implant GPM's item, RI. Get those various combinations. One of those conditions existed, and you did something with it. Now, I've never tried to pull a punch with you. I have held up, carrots. I have given you hope. I have kept you rolling one way or the other. All very factually, because the end was attainable. But I have never pulled the punches on this sort of thing. When I know something to be true, I tell you. And the facts of the case are that it's all very well for you to sit and talk about a service facsimile. It's all very well for me to write about a service facsimile. It's all very well to observe and explain the PC's behavior in terms of service facsimiles and talk about that. But you're doing a double talk. When you're talking about it, you're talking about an RI, a lock on an RI, or any of the things I just mentioned. You're talking about doing something with those things. Now, there's a tremendous liability in doing anything with R4 materials. R4 materials are the materials of the bank. There isn't anything else in the bank. That's it. There's tremendous liability. You shove a GPM north when you should have shoved it south. You shove an item out when you should have put it in. You do something with this when you should have done something with that, and you've got disaster staring you in the face. I don't mean you've got a difficulty in the session. No, you could very easily have disaster staring you in the face. This is the total liability of working in the field of the mind. There is no other liability of working in the field of the mind. There isn't anything else in the mind. There's a Thetan, and this is the mind he's got. These are the things which that Thetan has been up to over the course of God help us how long. These are the things. These are the items. They're the things. Look, they're items just like this crayon is an item. They're items like the meter is an item. They're mass like this desk is a mass. Don't you see? They have various significances. They have everything in the note of mystery scale is included in these things. These things are visual. They serve up like hamburgers or they go cold down the drain. It's stuff. It's stuff. You're actually handling stuff. You're not handling now a compulsion. You're handling the source of compulsions. You're not handling an obsession. You're handling the source of obsessions. You're not handling an aberrated idea. You're handling the source of aberrated ideas, you see? You're not handling insanity. You're handling those things that cause insanity. All right? Knowing that, I have to ask you to be brave and square your shoulders up to your meter and recognize what you're doing. If you're auditing in the W unit or doing class one auditing or even class two, you're sitting there and you're saying, you're inviting some calm from the PC. See? And the PC says, yipple, yapple, yipple, yapple, yipple, yapple, and yapple, 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 yipple, and yipple, 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 yipple. And you've got some tone arm action or you haven't got some tone arm action. That's the level one type stuff. You've got it or you haven't got it. And the more you chop him up and the less you let him talk, there's luck involved in level one, you know. There's luck. Because you're not directing his attention very strongly. So, therefore, not directing his attention, of course, it's sort of luck as to whether or not he talks about problems or talks about solutions. And it's luck as to whether or not he has suppressed all the things he should talk about, because you're not using the suppress button, don't you see? And this character might have suppressed his lumbosis, and you're not using the suppress button to clean it up, so how are you ever going to get any tone arm action with him talking about his lumbosis? These are the factors. In other words, those factors make it an element of chance as to whether or not you get tone arm action. Of course, the smoother you audit and the easier you can handle this thing, the more likely you are to get tone arm action. The less crudity you add into the session, why, the more tone arm action you're certainly going to get. But you don't really add tone arm action to the session by auditing, don't you see, because you're not directing his attention very much. There's minimal direction of attention. If the PC's going to get some tone arm action, going to get some tone arm action. This is the level of chance in which you're operating at that level. And everything that PC is talking about and everything that's wrong with that PC is our four materials. I don't care. You sat back and you said, there it is, start of session, you know, and he starts talking and so forth, and he says, I yipple yapple on the yupple yup, and so forth. He's pushing around our eyes, goals, GPMs, implant GPMs, so forth. These are the things which he is shoving around. Now, you get into less trouble at this level simply because the auditor does less shoving around. So the mind will wander through these various labyrinthine things and pick up a little bit of charge and blow it here and blow it there, and the PC feels better, you see? But it's almost by chance. But it looks safe, and it actually is fairly safe. It's safe, because the auditor's doing practically no control. The PC can't get himself into very much trouble. Now we move up into X, and we get selectivity. We get selectivity of what the PC is to itsa. Now the crudity of the auditor very much can interfere with the itsing of it and shove things all out of line and that sort of thing, but the element of chance here is what does the auditor choose to itza? And he could pick up his great big gum boots and walk right into the middle of a GPM and reactivate it, and then in some crude fashion through pushing the PC on where the PC didn't want to talk about something or something like that, mix up the 15th GPM with the 16th GPM, pull the 16th GPM up to the position of the 3rd GPM, and about that time the PC comes down with hyperlumbosis. You understand? Although you are apparently doing prep checking problems this lifetime, yik-yak, other things, you know, and it's all lined out and it all looks very fine and that's all very smooth, and in actual fact, you are doing a blind juggling act. Actual GPMs, implant GPMs, actual RIs, locks on actual RIs, implant RIs, locks on implant RIs, locks on implant goals. These things are what you are juggling with. Even an engram runs into our eyes. Even running engrams. You run an engram, this one runs and that one doesn't. Why? Well, one's closer into an RI than the other. Some engrams won't release till you get the RI. that's holding in place and so forth. That was the limitations of Dianetics contained right there in that phrase, because Dianetics, reactive mind. Dianetics describes reactive mind as full of engrams, all right? That's good enough for this lifetime, because this lifetime is only partially formed RI ordinarily. So you can run engrams and clean up this lifetime to a good degree. You can destimulate a tremendous amount of stuff, so you get this condition of clear and that sort of thing. You can destimulate engrams and that sort of thing. All these things are understood, but the final truth of the matter is that those confounded goals, actual GPMs, implant GPMs, all these RIs, their locks and everything else are sitting right there, and those are in actual fact what you're shoving around. Those are what you're playing chess with at level two. Now, in view of the fact that PC has some reality on what he's doing, he has some reality on what he can run, that is to say, if he knows about it, why, he's got some reality on it. You understand? So you're taking that first line in Book 3 of Modern Science of Mental Health, and you're taking that first line, and you say, if you can parallel what the mind is doing, why, you've got it made. Paraphrasing it. See. Find out what the mind is doing and parallel it, and you've got it. Well, that's the byword of levels 2 and 3. Find out what this boy is doing and sort of parallel it and so on, and take over automaticities. We've had it in the past, all this kind of thing. You can do this sort of thing. You've got prep checking now and that sort of thing. So, a very safe course here is to have something. And by the way, I didn't happen to think of this. As one of you thought of it on the basis of, we'll just take his session goals and do something with it. That's fine. Rather obvious step, but a very clever one. You take that. Now, he's got some reality on what he sets as a goal, right? He wouldn't set it as a goal if he didn't have some reality on it. So therefore, you could itza this and get someplace. Now, of course, you uncork a prep check on the thing, those nice old buttons, and you start pushing and around on this particular goal that he's set for the session that gave him a little tone arm action when he wrote it down and so on. You're going to get some nice tone arm action piece. He's going to have a win and that sort of thing. But we mustn't avoid the fact that in actual fact you're pushing around actual GPMs, goals, actual implant GPMs, and the RIs connected with these various things. Those are the things you're still juggling with. You're throwing those up in the air like somebody on the London Palladium Theater, you know, Indian clubs this direction, that direction. You're doing it blindfolded, which is pretty good. I hope I'm not ruining the nerves of some of the lower level students. You can say to yourself, what in the name of common sense am I pushing around at levels 1, 2, and 3? What is this? Well, what are these? Say, oh, pretty mysterious, actually. We know what an RI is. It has an actual face, and it has pointed ears and horns and so forth, and it's a little model thing that sits in the middle of the bank in some fashion. Oh, they don't know what this thing looks like. And, grim. What are we pushing around? Well, that's what you're pushing around. All right, when we talk about R4, then, we're actually talking about the actual composition of the mind that brings about all and any of the aberrations of the mind, how the thoughts, postulates, get insisted in the middle of energy and mass and influence each other, and how they float in time, and how they affect the PC, and how they group up into large masses which are governed by a goal, and all of this sort of thing, the progress of a thetan in aberrating himself. You've got, sitting on top of this thing over at motivator sequence, you've got a lot of shallow draft actions, that take current energy lines. You've got shallow draft activities that sort of handle locks on locks on locks and still give you tone arm action, don't you see? But nevertheless, the thing which is generating the stuff that you're after, which has got your PC held down, which gives him lumbosis, which makes him think that he is a turtle, all of these various things are contained in the R4 materials. So therefore, in the final analysis, there is no substitute of any kind whatsoever for knowing about R4. We were actually training an auditor from scratch and so forth from all the way through, and we're going to train him for a long period of time and that sort of thing. I'm afraid you teach him R4 first. So therefore, the materials I'm giving you here are not ungermane to levels 1, 2, and 3 of Scientology. Make my point? It's there. If you're auditing the PC, you're auditing it. Now, when these things get out of line in life, And it isn't just auditing that puts them out of line, you know. I mean, that is not the prime villain here in disturbing the bank. When life starts throwing these things out of line one way or the other in the various environments of the PC, you've got sport on your hands, man, because life does it without knee meter. Life does it very stupidly and unintelligently. The guy's got these GPMs, he's got these RIs, and life shuffles them around on him like mad, groups them up, he'll have a bad accident. He's got one, trains or something like this is an RI in the 10th GPM, 10th actual GPM. But in that place, it's an op term. Trains are an op term in the 10th actual GPM. So, trains are a terminal in the 3rd actual GPM. One fine day, trains meet trains head on, and there goes the 3rd and the 10th grouped. After this, we have somebody who has to be operated on by the medicos and is worth a fortune to the medical profession. Worth an absolute fortune. Have to have operation after operation after operation. Have to have things removed and unremoved and re-removed and renovated and polished and dissected and so forth. No matter what they cut out, the somatic is still there. See? Trains and trains, that's what's wrong with the guy. Now, this is a very extreme view, and the medico would say, oh, well, it's one school of thought, you see, and there are many schools of thought. No, there aren't many schools of thought. We are the school of thought which explains schools of thought. Okay, that's the difference. We're not another school of thought because we are handling the materials which build and create a body. Anybody accusing us of being interested in healing should have his face spat into. I mean, particularly if he's associated with the main profession. Because, as a matter of fact, we don't ever heal anything. There is no particular point in healing something when you can remove the cause of it. That's a different operation. Errors, physical errors, are just about the auditor's least possible concern, even though they are the thing the PC fixes on the most easily. If his cheek hurts, then he is very aware of his cheek hurting, and it's very up close to him, and he'd like to have his cheek stop hurting. Well, now, healing means, in some extrapolation of the situation, solving his hurt cheek. Well, we don't do that, you see. We don't move around to the other side of this hurt cheek and later on the track solve what is wrong with the hurt cheek. You can pick up the cause of hurting cheeks and knock that out, and he won't have not only that hurt cheek. You know, it's impossible to, quote, heal just a hurt cheek, you see, because you start working on it, and you get the other cheek, and you get his headache, too. You know, it's very hard, because that's because you're not selectively picking up these things. Now, let's look at this from this basis. You are dealing with the stuff which builds the universe. This is how universes get built. All the materials of how the stuff goes together is in that. You come far closer to a physical scientist than you would a medico, but I wouldn't even insult you in that direction either. You're dealing with the basic building block of all universes, a thetan, and your study is and knowledge is of this beast, a thetan. This breed of cat. Now, what does he do? What will he do? What does he construct? What errors does he make? How does he arrange life around him? These are the subjects of an auditor's interest. If we realize that what is wrong with this beast, a thetan, if we realize what's wrong with him, is the fact he's been solving everything or curing everything or healing every error, which then amounted to a fantastic concatenation of error, we'll realize what's going on here. You can't go around and give him one more solution. That's what he doesn't need. Aberration is that series of solutions which have had to be solved. Aberrations are a series of solutions, each one of which had to be solved in turn. You have condition A. Now, nothing was wrong at condition A unless the Satan considered it. He had to consider that the condition there just before A was wrong, you see, before he decided to do anything about it. Now, you can have an opinion about any of these things, and usually at this stage of the game, the fellow doesn't care whether it's right or wrong or if there is a condition there, but just to have some game or interest or something like that, he decides that this thing shouldn't be. He decides to do something about dancing girls or something like this. You see, life is dull. So there is the condition. Now, there was a condition, even if it was the condition of simply having nothing to do. It was still a condition. So the first solution is A, the resolution of the first condition. Now, out of A, we get condition 2, which is dancing girls solved. If you want to know about an overt act, just solve all the dancing girls for all time. See, that's a hell of an overt act, if you pardon my French. I mean, imagine anybody taking off to solve all dancing girls for all time. What an overt act. See, so that's condition 2, dancing girls solved. Well, that sure reduces the game, but it makes lots of problems. Makes lots of problems. If only the problem of the tired businessman coming to town there to be sold Wheaties by the carload lot by his business confrere, and he hasn't got any place to take them, don't you see? He hasn't got any place to take his tired confrere in order to sell him Wheaties or something of the sort, because he's solved dancing girls. That's it. So we get solution B. Solution B, solving condition 2. And this probably is drink. Can't have dancing girls have all been solved, you see. They're no longer dancing. They're sort of in stages of this, you see. And now we've got to do something for our tired confrere. So, of course, we can solve this status by introducing the item drink. Well, that's great. So that's solution B, solving condition 2, see? All right. So out of drink, however, it becomes surfeit. You get sick drinking and all that sort of thing. And the too much drink gives us condition 3. And that's a bad condition, you see? His confrere doesn't want to have anything to do now with drink when he comes to town to be sold Wheaties or something like that, because he gets horrible hangovers, you see, and it's a bad condition. So maybe condition 3 is hangovers, don't you see? That actually solved drink, you see, solved that, but drink led to a new evil. Because, you see, we're altruizing. These things, look at them, they're nothing but altruizes of a condition. So we're altruizing by solution. So we get an alteriz problem. Nobody solves the problem by eradicating it in the first place. All they do is alteriz it. So therefore, they get another one of these conditions. So we get condition 3, which is hangovers. And therefore, hangovers require some solution or another. So now, in order to get anything done here at all, which is a basic impulse, we've got to have solution C. And solution C is drugs. So you drug the guy and hypnotize him or something like this, you see, in order to sell him the Wheaties. And out of this, you see, come bad contracts or something of this sort. So now we've got condition 4. And condition 4, of course, is the fact that he won't come to town at all, because he's been slugged and mugged and bugged, you see, and so on. So we're still trying to solve this basic problem, you see. Two-cell Wheaties, you see. We get condition four, which is an absent buyer. Well, that's great. So now we have to have solution D, which is lures. You've got to have better lures, don't you see? And here it goes. And finally, it becomes absolutely apparent that not only can we not sell Wheaties, you see, but that we better be dead against them ever getting sold. See, so to sell Wheaties eventually becomes, as the conditions deteriorate, and selling Wheaties becomes condition 18 or something like this, which is selling Wheaties. See, it actually did wind itself back to the basic goal. The guy who is at the last throes of the thing is starting dimly to realize that it was the basic goal that he set in the first place that was getting him into all this trouble, and he's now again it. So he solves it by being against the goal. Oh, that's great. You now have the model of a GPM. That's how it comes into existence, you see. Guy decides he wants to do something. There is a condition. He solves the condition. And, of course, you recognize in the A's and B's and C's, you recognize those as terminals. And the numbers I've given you, those are the conditions or confusions, which are the op terms. You see that? Well, every one of these things, unfortunately, accumulates a great deal of its mass and so forth. And if you could get the thing detached from a GPM, you could roll it around on the floor. And it's an RI. The condition or the solution, equally or alike, form up these balls and mass, and they, if you ever tore one of these GPMs to pieces, visually, without running it out, because they discharge fairly rapidly. The miracle here is that we have something to run these things back that does discharge them. That's the miracle. Technique that does so. We could even understand them and not be able to take them apart. But let's just say we took a big GPM and we ripped one of these RIs out of the corner of the thing and so forth. We'd have some kind of a mass. Mental, thin, and so forth, so that it doesn't have any great weight, but it nevertheless has weight and it does occupy space. We could roll one of these things around the floor. It's quite interesting. Anybody's got them. Now, anybody who's picked up body weight, just got too many of these things plastered on him. He's collided with too many of the things. You're a PC who leaves the session looking all right and comes back at the end of the session with his eyes as red as fire and his hair being blown back as though in the wind and so forth, has simply gotten one of these things into re-stimulation between sessions. I don't care if you get rid of it by putting in the session between session midroods, you see. Since midroods, that got rid of it. But what hit him was an RI, or a lock on an RI. That's what hit him. He went down to the post box, and he saw a woman putting a black-edged letter in the box, don't you see? And this was enough to key in some RI on the track, and so it hit him. And he comes into session. He's got a high tone arm, and then you put in a prep check on him since midroods, you know. And what you do is accidentally, without identifying it, collide with this particular incident. You come near enough to it to key the thing out, and the tone arm goes down. That is all. You're handling these things all the time as an auditor. So the final analysis is you should know what they are. I'm going to ask somebody here to get us some plastic. Some of this stuff they use in kindergartens is plastic clay, not the kind that slurps all over your clothes and so forth. But I think you can get it in gray-black, and I think you can get it in some pale yellow, rather. But getting two colors of these things, and a lot of them, I'm going to have a table built, long, narrow table. I'm going to get you one by one, not by six and six, to mold a whole GPM from one end to the other, and then a whole channel of GPMs, and then show some way a bank could get disarranged. After you've made a GPM, show that it is slewed around and it's out of gear and so forth. Because all this is susceptible to visual interpretation. It's all visual. It's visual anyhow. Doesn't matter if your PC can see him or not. That's what's going on in his bank. That's all there is to it. This isn't peculiar to one PC. This is why you are here. This is why they are here. That is why people get the way they get. And this is where a guy's power is totally absorbed. It's in the obsessive construction of these things all the time and so on. He used to be able to throw a lightning bolt Lord knows how far. He can't do it now. Why? Because he's gone the route down these GPMs. So anyway, by taking a narrow table, maybe 2 feet wide or something like that, with tall edges, and quite a few pounds of clay, you can make alternate GPMs, you see. And then maybe we can get some black clay, and you can even dream up a few implant GPMs and shove them into the flanks of the actual GPMs, you see, and dream it up, see. You can make a bank. It'll look like a bank, and that bank then becomes mobile. You can move it around. You can move these blocks around. You can move them out of shape, you see. You can name these goals and so on. You can see how they oppose. This thing is terrifically susceptible to visual interpretation. We will also take films of these things and do quite a job on the situation. But I think it would do you personally a lot of good to play paddock cake with plasticine on a board and knock together one of these GPMs. It isn't enough to sit around and draw pictures of them because they aren't pictures. See? They're blocks of mass. They have a very definite shape. They have good appearance. They do get pulled out of line. And they get pulled out of line and pulled into other conditions. And these are the strains and stresses which occur in the PC. These are your psychosomatic illnesses and so on. You don't get a psychosomatic illness because an RI is called to have a pain in the head. So therefore you get a pain in the head, you see. I mean, it would be nice and sweet if this type of thing existed. It isn't, you see, however, that. It doesn't much matter what the RI is. It's about as subtle, if it gets pulled out of line, as hitting the fellow over the skull with a croquet mallet. See, you got this RI, and it is just clanged into the side of his head. So he's got a pain in his head. I mean, it's as simple as that. You put him in a vise and close the screw on the thing just so tight, he's going to get a pain in his head. I mean, that's... See, you can think yourself into a lot of complications. And people have never understood this because it's too simple. These masses exist, and guys get caught in between them. For instance, just before this session here, we were undoing some bank materials, and we had a couple of errors on repair, getting ready for a long run, since on my case. And we found that there was an item which had 5 or 6 GPMs grouped. And we got this item, and the tone arm flew and flew and flew and flew, and the motor meter smoked, and the tone arm flew some more, and more charge came off this thing. Then some more things were found out about it, found to be 2 items, not 1, which were grouped. They were in different GPMs, had the GPMs grouped. Interesting condition. But this grouping, then, did not permit an ITSA of the sequence of the GPMs, because you certainly can't take a double handful of mud and tell which of that mud is muddier than other bits of that mud, you see. What is more mud than mud, you see, and you can do it. They've got to have some spatial relationship or be straightened out before you can say it's this piece of mud that is later than that piece of mud, don't you see? You've got to have some recognition of the situation. As long as these things were that thoroughly grouped up, you couldn't then say for sure what belonged where, don't you see? But now you could say what belonged where because they'd been ungrouped and an item had been found which was causing a group. An item which had a duplicate item in another set, in another GPM. So, of course, everything between those two things being grouped had smashed all the GPMs together. Apparently the GPMs had been riding there for quite a while, but this one item, which was actually two items with the same name, or nearly the same name, on the two, continuously getting re-stimulated, and getting re-stimulated and pulled a bank together. See? So, therefore, you were operating, although later GPMs forming, you still had the impetus and the key into the earlier GPM, don't you see? So that was making a nice big creak, pretty gruesome. See how this is? Well, now, if you knew the exact spatial relationships, type, kind, and if you knew everything there was to know, and actually there isn't any more to learn about it, really, than there is about a kid's erector set. I mean, I'm telling you the truth now. You've got an item that's called cats, and it opposes an item called dogs, don't you see? And so on. It's cats solve dogs, or something like this, or dogs solve cats, don't you see? And these pairs go together, and that mass gets all together, and in the ball of the item cats, don't you see? Anything pertaining to cats accumulates on cats, don't you see? It was when the PC was going by this particular period that he did the most work on it, but it actually never really ceases to accumulate. Something you probably didn't realize. These things aren't dead, gone, buried, and so forth. They are formed. They are nicely put back on the track, and all is well. And then one day, a cat goes, and there's just that little scrap moves back and adds itself to the item cat. Got the idea? Thetan is very neat. So these things behave in peculiar ways. Now you can get a re-stimulation of that item. You can get that item misdated. Now it's interesting that merely running them misdates them. That is such a slight misdating that it passes all away with just a recognition of the fact. But it is nevertheless a slight misdating of the item. It's being run at a different time than it was formed in. That's very faint. That's very faint. That's hardly worth worrying about, although you should pay a little attention to that. But now, an item which is really misdated, a really misdated item, we've got the item jewel thief. Jewel thief. By the way, this stuff is all fraught with story material. It's terribly interesting material. I mean, it's dramatic. It's this, it's that. It's fascinating. Numbers of ways. In fact, the significances of it are so great, and it's so fascinating that people completely overlook its purely mechanical basis. You got jewel thief. And good heavens, jewel thief is back there. Whoa, it's ages old. This thing is really old. It's about 5-6 GPMs back from present time, see? Jewel thief. And the PC has been a detective in this lifetime and has committed some overts against some jewel thieves. And you'll find him sitting there then with his bank bent around and the item jewel thief misdated. It's brought into present time. See, he's opposing it, so he brings the item into present time. He doesn't go back to the item. So he's got this item grouped up here in present time. So that item is misdated. That's what's wrong with it, actually. It isn't that it had more added to it. It appears to be in mere present time, don't you see? When it's actually, it's that long, long way back on the track. You see that? Now, where we have, then, our eyes, we have dating, we have proper position, we have a location in the universe for them, very unimportant. Dating, actually, not terribly important, but we have sequence. One comes after another, not before the other, don't you see? You can get things twisted. You can get one earlier than the other. Well, you can get GPMs one earlier than the other when they should be later than the other, don't you see? Yeah, the order you think goes 1, 2, 3. Actually, it goes 1, 3, 2. See? That's the way it's actually sitting in the bank. And the PC will have a lot of creak on this. You find goal 3, GPM 3, when you should find goal GPM 2, don't you see?
The creeks are out and so forth. Now, it's any disarrangement.
It's any disarrangement like this. It's any miswording, particularly of goals. Our eyes seldom misword, but the goals and so on, miswording. Misworded goal, oh, man. Misworded R.I. doesn't amount to much, but a misworded goal, ow, ow, ow. That is gruesome. Things out of sequence, as I just said. The various things that have been left unopposed, items that have been found or re-stimulated when they shouldn't be, all these various things, they all add up to case repair. And what is very, 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 very interesting is that all you have to do to repair a case is to know all the stuff I'm talking to you about this plasticine. You know, you make up the bank and you tear it apart into its items and so forth. And, well, all you have to do is just put the bank together again so that it is neatly the way it should be. See? You know, so the goals from the PT go 1, 2, 3, not 1, 5, 7, 2, you see. And so that RIs that have been found, for instance, in goal 5 and so forth, aren't hanging up here in present time, don't you see? And so that an RI, which is supposed to belong to the GPM to sell Wheaties, actually is found to belong to the GPM to sell nothing. You see? And you got an implant GPM over here, which is to eat, and somehow or another this has gotten hung up on to sell Wheaties, see? And they're substituted one for the other. The PC thinks one of them is the other. And in other words, it's just mix-up. All you got to do is straighten them up, call spades spades. It's like sorting out a deck of cards. That's all. Without really re-stimulating any more than has been re-stimulated before. That's one of the things you shouldn't bother to do. Enough's been re-stimulated. Now, in trying to straighten this out, you want them to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, you want all of the GPMs to be assigned to their proper sequence, and you want the RIs assigned to their proper GPMs. Those that have been found, you understand? Let's take 212 RIs. All right, well, let's find out where they belong. Well, we don't have to have the name of the GPM in order to assign it. We can say the third back from present time or something like that. We can count them on the meter, don't you see? And you can take your meter, and the only inspection port you have, unfortunately for you, is your e-meter, but you're fortunate to have that. And these things normally will read if the PC can itch at all on the subject and isn't flying around in circles and PT problems. You actually do have a port. You can say, is this before that, and is that later than this? And you get your answers, and you can sort this thing out. You get null reads, which means no, and you get flash reads, which means yes, and you can gradually work this thing out. You can get all these RIs back kneaded up into their proper GPM, and the GPMs in their proper sequence, and find any of those that have been found and misworded, and you can just get this whole thing. To draw up an analysis sheet for you as an auditor to use on a PC is actually an insult to your potential knowingness. Because you should be able to use some modeling clay and mock up one of these banks and show all the things that go wrong with it. And when you're inspecting a PC and you're repairing the PC, you should know this well enough so that you just say, well, these various conditions can exist, and they just rattle off and so forth. Now, this is nothing to teach a level one auditor, except at St. Hill. We expect you to know this, St. Hill. By osmosis, another learning process that you perhaps weren't aware of. But there actually is no sense at all in you're not knowing this. It has no more complications, not as much complications as a kid's erector set. Now that we know it, it's just like fitting together some kind of a puzzle game. And is it out of order? And the first question, if it isn't out of order, don't try to put it into order. And then you've got your next thing. Is there any goals been given this PC ever? Does this PC think he has any goals of one kind or another? Well, let's find out. Does he have them rightly worded or wrongly worded? We don't necessarily have to find them. Well, just find out, was it rightly worded, wrongly worded? And if it was rightly worded, why, when we kind of spot it as to where it was by count, how many back down the line that goal was or something like this, you see. And if it was wrongly worded, we simply tell him so, you know. And he looks it over, you know, if it was an implant GPM and he thought it was one of his actual GPMs and so on, well, we've got to straighten that out. There's just so many elements that go wrong. If an RI has been found, let's find out where it belongs. Elementary. Let's say a 212 RI. In 212, people found a lot of RIs, you know. Well, where did they belong? What GPMs do they fit with? You can actually, without finding the GPMs, find out what GPM they fit with. That's pretty good, isn't it? Let's find out. Well, that's a very early one, even if it's this crude, you see. That's a very early actual GPM. This one is a lock on an implant GPM, and therefore is simply a lock on an implant GPM. Oh, yeah, well, all right. That means it's not very significant. This one, well, that's an actual RI from an actual GPM. And it's this many back down the track and so forth. Yeah, there it is, number 5. That belongs about the 5th GPM. And the PC, you'll see tone arm action going here and all sorts of things going on. And the bank's getting back together again. The PC's lumbosis is disappearing. There's a great deal of magic connected with this type of auditing that I'm telling you about right now. There's a lot of magic connected with it. PC's got lumbosis like mad. And you say, well, have any items ever been found or used anything you were ever audited on that was particularly potential or something or other? Or in life, what was your main concern or something like this? And well, I was just never able to clear a sec check question on the subject. Never able to clear a sec check question on the subject of eating porridge. Oh, is that so? Well, all right. Was this eating porridge? Was this? See, you're taking off from nothing. Was this eating porridge an RI from an actual GPM? Was it a lock on an RI from an actual GPM? Was it a lock on an implant GPM? Lock on an RI and an implant GPM. Was it this? Was it that? Well, where did it fit on the track? Is it from the Helitrobus implants, you see? From the bear. Is it very early on the track? Is it fairly late on the track? Is it here? Is it there? Is it something or other? Don't you see? So that any cross-fitting around, anything you do on this, you see, you get the thing located. Now, the funny part of it is you can date it. Eating porridge, all right? Date it by order of magnitude. Years ago, you see, tens of years ago, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, tens of thousands, and you find it's trillions of years ago, eating porridge. It'll go back, back down the track, and that's the end of that aberration. See? This is all just putting the bank back together again. In other words, you can set, this is a new aspect of R4, you see, that you can sit exterior to auditing the case, consider the case has been audited by life, find the various items and GPMs and goals that the person has had and just tell them what these things are, like you do an ARC break assessment. See? But actually fit them in fairly accurately and kind of slam them here and there on the track and say it fits here and it does this and it does that and that sort of thing. Well, that is an enormously broad field of activity. Probably could experience considerable expansion. Probably could have been improved enormously. Probably opens up a gate to a certain type of auditing, which is probably more important than anything except R4, M2, see? Now, what does this mean, then? What does this mean? It means that you have to know that before you can do anything with R4M2. You got to know how to put a case together before you can take the case apart. Now, if you can do that, you're a very safe auditor indeed. Now, the rules of how you audit R4 how you find GPMs and that sort of thing, stand entirely independent of this activity of hanging the thing back together again. You don't have to know how to audit it at all. All you have to know is its composition and what these things are, and know that they can be slipped and slapped back into place again by you. That's all you have to know about this, and you can accomplish miracles. Absolutely miraculous activities may take place as a result of this single piece of knowledge. So it stands, of course, separate to then auditing R4M2. It's a different type of activity. It's a different process, you might say. You can't even call it case repair. But believe me, if you can't do this, you see, you don't have to know how to run R4M2 in order to do this. But let me tell you, if you don't know how to do this, you for sure will never successfully carry off R4M2. You've also got to know how to do this in order to successfully accomplish R4M2. That pair does go together very neatly. So the upshot of the thing is that R4M2 and so on comes after, in actual fact, somebody is able to reassemble a bank that's been knocked about by life and other things, you know. And if he could do this, if he could just do this, he'd be able to do nothing but this for the rest of his existence and make a fine way of it. So he wouldn't make any OTs, but he'd make some awful comfortable, happy people. So there's a whole zone of auditing in R4 that you might not really look at as auditing. Now we get to the business of making an OT, and that has all sorts of little bits and pieces and ramifications and know-how and so forth connected with this. It all makes it easier. And the only reason you need all the bits and pieces and odd bits of know-how and that sort of thing is because you stray off of the exact, relatively simple procedure. The procedure, R4M2, is so foolishly simple. It is, in actual fact, so easy to do that it is a very, very treacherous bog to walk into. You read these things, well, there's nothing to that. You just sit there and you ask the person, well, the goals and present time. What might your present time GPM be? All right, we'll make a list and we'll get it and so forth, and that's all there is to that. And then we take this and we check it out, and then we ask these questions. We don't get a read on, if we get proper reads on these questions, well, everything is fine. And we list for the top op term of it, and then we go, or top terminal rather, and then we go flicker-flack back and forth down the bank, and it all runs out and everything is fine. All we do is a list. The first thing that falls on the list is probably the item. We just call it back to the PC. There's hardly anything to this. You know, see, it's very easy. You get down the bottom, any idiot can do it. The only thing that gets in your road is the PC's ITSA. Of course, it's not up to the bank. That's why you're running it, you see. So you're running it sub-ITSA, and sometimes the sub-ITSA, because the PC's ITSA is not very high, is not very accurate. So you can find in consecutive order 5 different, separate, contradictory present-time GPMs. You try to run one, you try to run another one, and of course you run a GPM which isn't in proper sequence. You're going to wind somebody up around a telegraph pole with a dull thud. And now is occasion for case repair, don't you see? You make a mistake. It isn't your mistake. It's the PC's inability to ITSA at that particular level, see? So you come a cropper, and now you fall back on the technique called bank formation. And you put the bank back in together again. You find out, was it, and where does it really exist, and was it a real one, or was it a false, you know, was it a wrong goal, incorrectly worded goal, slightly incorrectly worded, grossly incorrectly worded, not like that at all, this type of thing. And you go over this, and you're back into the put it all together again smoothly department. See? So you go ahead with this very simple technology, which is all you do is make a little list, and what rocket reads on the list, well, that's it, and so forth, and you take that, and you go up the top of that, and then you get this, and you do the item list, and anything that falls, you call it back, and it calls, you get your blowdown PC, and circle around, and you say, is this your item, and do your courtesy steps, and so forth. There's nothing to that. Sneeze. Nothing to it. Nothing to it. Nothing.
As long as you don't run into any difficulty. The technique itself is idiot simple. But it's an idiotic technique that takes a screaming genius to run it. You see that? For instance, the smarter auditor pulls out quicker from an error and gets the PC into less trouble. Pull out fast, you see. You're going down this list, you're listing. All of a sudden that list getting long. You call back, you see that the fall doesn't, something falls nicely, and you call it back to the PC, and you can't make it fall for the PC, and you get list a little bit further, you get another fall, and you call that back, and that doesn't list. You go up on top of the list, and you can't get that first fall to fall, and you can't get anything to fall, and nothing is calling back, and so forth. Well, that's a matter of a very few minutes of operation. You don't make a week's profession out of this thing. You just realize what's wrong. You're listing from a wrong item, man. You fall right back into case repair, you see. You get another item to list from. If you can't get another item to list from, then you go back and find out if that's the wrong goal you're operating on. You're running out of RR. You run it right straight on back, but you're into case repair at once. Second anything goes wrong, you're into case repair. Case repair is not a long activity that takes the next five sessions, see? Case repairs as long as it's necessary to repair the case. A very clever auditor can repair the blunder which he has just committed in an hour, or a half an hour, or 10 minutes, depending on the magnitude of the blunder, don't you see? It's repaired right now. It's detected. Immediately detected what's going on. He can straighten that up and so forth. And somebody else has gone on with error mounting up on error, mounting up on error, till he's really got a mess to repair. And so, of course, it takes him 5, 6, 10 hours to repair this thing. You get the idea. I mean, it's how quick the auditor can detect the case running wrong. And this is all monitored against another very interesting point, just to scare you spitless. Another interesting point about it is that if you repair a case which isn't running wrongly, you'll mess the PC up also. If the case is running just fine and you start to get your ulcers up and start to repair a case that doesn't need repair, well, you're an ARC breaking the PC because you're invalidating all of his materials, of course. So you have to know when a case is running well and when it's running badly. Cases run badly, they're ARC breaky, nattery, you can't get much on a list, your lists tend to be kind of cockeyed and long. The tone arm is running at a different place than where tone arm should run, either very high or very low. You're not getting much tone arm action per session, the needle tends to stick, you don't get nice blowdowns, all of these various things. That case isn't running well. But you're running a case at 45 TA divisions, and you're getting RRs, and everything is flashing, big blowdowns, and everything is just running like a startled gazelle, PC cheerful, happy, everything going along, swinging, and you all of a sudden get worried and start to repair the case. The fact that you tried to repair the case will now give you a high tone arm, or a low tone arm, or a nattery, or ARC breaky PC. You get the idea. So you have to know when to do these things. You have to be familiar with the anatomy of the thing. The anatomy of things is very simple. There aren't any more things in the anatomy than I have named in this lecture. It isn't any vast panorama of things. There aren't this many parts in a kid's... There are more parts in a kid's erector set. Right? There's more to learn about stamp collecting or something like that by far. See? There's more to learn about Parcheesi, in actual fact, than there is to putting a bank back together again. But there is something to learn. It is finite, and that is it. You've got to know that, see? There's not a whole bunch of ramifications. You can't have a whole bunch of false data about banks and repair a bank, don't you think? You've got to know what really is there. Is there anything else there? No, they're just those things there. That's all. So the upshot of all of this is this. R4 then divides into two divisions. And one of those divisions is putting a bank together without running or finding goals or items, just assembly in proper sequence. There's a whole field of that in R4.
And the other one is the technique called R4M2, which is how to find goals and run out GPMs. See, those are two broad fields of activity. The more useful of the two, of course, is the repair area, putting everything back together. Again, that's really more useful as technology because it's useful at all levels on all cases. The only difficulty is it merely makes people comfortable. It doesn't make OTs. So it has a more limited target and a broader application. See? Probably a lot of things can develop out of this. But R4M2 is the only technique. There is no other technique. There is no biochemical assist. There is no electrical shock assist. There is no pyote squirt in the gluteus maximus assist. There is no hocus-pocus, dormophone yourself to clear. There is no hypnotize yourself into insanity, so forth. There is none of any of this, see, that will get anybody to OT. No matter how widely advertised, I wish to point out to you the number of people who aren't and the length of time these things have been around. Implant yourself by installments. You see, that doesn't lead to OT. It stands there as this single, isolated, lonely technology as the only route to operating Thetan. Been worked on for a long time. That it exists at all is absolutely miraculous. That it functions is fantastic. It nevertheless exists. It, however, in the absence of the first broad field of how you assemble a case, you see, how you assemble GPM and so on, if you try to handle that, R4M2, in the absence of knowing how to assemble a case, you've had it. You don't know how to assemble a case. You're going to run R4M2. Don't make me laugh. I got a sore lip. Your PC's going to be in agony that is absolutely unbelievable. You, as an auditor, your hair is just going to turn gray minute by minute as the sessions wander on, worse and worse. You're going to dig yourself into more holes because you don't know the first broad sphere of how you assemble a bank. Okay? You don't know how a bank looks. You don't know where it should go together and so forth. You're operating too blindfoldedly. And operating too blindfold, and there is no way that anybody can be taught this as you stick a key in the hole in the side of an auditor and wind it up, you see? Wind it up, and the auditor sits there and turns on the e-meter, see? And says, "What is your present time goal? I will write it down." Not that kind of a technique. It is that kind of a technique as long as nothing goes wrong. But one pebble slips on the path, and it instantly reverts to this broad knowledge of the bank. You've got to have a broad knowledge of what the bank's all about. Now, you understand? This is how this stuff works. This is how this stuff goes together. You can do some miraculous things. It's, just to give you a carrot, not intending you to, you can actually do some miraculous things. I don't care whether the PC are not interested now in the communication barrier between you and the PC. Trying to do this on raw meat. But I can think of one. You could have a bunch of plastic clay over in the corner yourself and say to the PC, "Now that's what we call a so-and-so," and finally put him through a drill. He's handling the stuff with his paws that he'd be handling in his bank, and it looks exactly the same to him, you see. It means the same, another translated into English. Teach him how to talk bank, see? And the second you teach him how to talk bank, why, then you could communicate this and you could put it all back together again. That's a crude solution, but it is a solution, don't you?
Now, you have to do that anyhow. I don't know how a PC, an educated PC, this is a Scientologist process, man. Everything I've been talking about is a Scientologist process today.
You might carry on this education after you've educated the guy thoroughly. Why, he'd be partially a Scientologist. The situation that you're involved with then is the real McCoy. All there is to know about it in form of anatomy of a bank. You see, that's it. And that is combined with the technology of how you handle that anatomy. And you have to know both sides of this in R4 to have anything really like success and not disaster. And R4 is peculiar in that it is the one technology which can lead to disaster. That is the source of this thing called classification. This is why auditors are classified. Because somebody who has no acquaintance with this at all, or minimal acquaintance with this, or trained out in Keokuk or Podunk, and is trying to wrestle with this stuff, he's going to kill somebody, that's all. He's just going to kill somebody. It isn't that he'll get away with it with one case or two cases. He won't even get away with it with one case. I mean, it isn't that sooner or later, it isn't adjudicated. Classification isn't based on, well, sooner or later, he's liable to make a mistake on a PC and hurt somebody. Where R4 is concerned, if he uses it on PCA, PCA, sooner or later, is going to hit the long shoot. See, sooner or later. Maybe in the first session, maybe in the tenth session. Don't minimize it, see. You're looking at the stuff which can aberrate a body and make a two-headed monkey, practically. See, this stuff is velocity. It's got crunch in it. Find a wrong goal on somebody, you know? The guy has an actual GPM of something or other. He always has lots of them. Just find one wrong goal. Not to sell Wheaties, but to buy Wheaties or something like this. You see, all right, you say to buy Wheaties. All right, that's your goal. He agrees with it. He's checking on the meter at the moment. He hadn't had a chance to itch it. The thing is still charged up, you see, like mad. And your meter doesn't give you the straight dope. You start to run to buy Wheaties. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You battle your way up the top of the bank. You battle your way up to the top of the bank. And you find the top GPM of the bank. Meter says so, PC says so, it all appears so. And you start to run it and then find out it's the 10th GPM. Well, break out your violin, brother. Because this PC's going to be in a mess right now. Right now. It isn't the ARC break, it's the creek. It's very funny. I mean, the darndest things. But they're all just disarranged elements from the materials I've just been telling you about. You disarrange or miscall one of those elements, getting its wrong relationship to some other element, find something out of the fourth bank and infer that it's out of the first bank, don't you see? You get these things disarranged, or you get bank 3 and bank 2 out of sequence. That is to say, so that one is where the other should be in sequence. You get these little elementary actions, and those things result in lumbosis, scrumbosis, and medicalosis. And this stuff, in untrained, unskilled, non-comprehending hands, and so forth, could make doctors absolutely rich. And I'm against it. I think they ought to be paid for exactly the good they do. I think medicals should be paid for the good they do. I think they should be held exclusively to our code on this. And so forth. And in view of the fact that they would then be paupers, why, we wouldn't have to worry about them at all. I sound bitter. I'm not particularly bitter, but I do hear every once in a while how they gouged out the kidney or took off half the head of somebody or other. Trying to do what? Trying to get rid of a somatic of some kind or another. See? This gorgon or ear or something's been under constant pressure, you see, from the bank, and so has managed to infect or become aberrated in some particular fashion as a physical aberration. Then they start in with surgery. Well, their surgery did not cut out even one tiny chunk of an RI. And that RI, unless by some accident, is still pressing against that ear area. A quack is somebody who is a fraud. And I think they're doing well to conduct their campaign for Dr. Quack. I think they do well conducting a campaign against quacks. I think they should do more of this. They should conduct more campaigns against quacks. I'm glad they are conducting that campaign because we don't have to. Quack is somebody who's paid for something he doesn't do. Or claims he is doing something he doesn't do. Final analysis. What they are curing is caused by misalignments of the reactive bank. And the anatomy of the reactive bank is just as I have given it to you. Nothing more than that. Now you say, well, there is such a thing as germs. Yeah, there's such a thing as germs. There is such a thing as matter. Yes, there is such a thing as matter. There is such a thing as this universe. Yes, there is such a thing as this universe. Yes, that's all true. There's no doubt about that of any kind whatsoever. There is an actual GPM called the physical universe. The only question I'm asking is, whose is it? But this is the level, scope, breadth, and what you should know on level 4. It isn't really very much when you come down to look at it. The technique itself is idiotically simple to do, and repair is something you learn simply by knowing the parts and being imaginative as to how many ways they can go out of gear, how many ways they can get scrambled, and how to put them back together again. These things you can learn, these things you can do. And the reason you can learn them, can do them, is one, they are simple, and two, there is no other route. Okay? Thank you.